Oh, yeah. It's a happy hump day, Trump day. Welcome to it, my friends. It is the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. It is 6:08. Your time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Here it comes, chugging down the tracks. It's the Doge train coming straight at the city of Gainesville. Chugga, 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 chugga. Woo, woo. Oh, yeah. Oh, and those in charge at the city, I am sure they are puckered up tight. And that wasn't just to give a kiss hello to Governor DeSantis, who flew in yesterday. I mean, it must have been important because he flew through...
torrential?
Yeah, nice. That's putting it lightly.
Yeah. Oh, man, that was some rain.
Greg drove through it to make a special press conference that not everybody knew about, mm-hmm. but a few people did. And and you went?
Yep.
And at the press conference, Governor DeSantis was there, and the reason he wanted to announce the Doge team is going to be visiting City Hall. What was the feeling? Give me the feeling of the room. Was it a little excitement? The governor's there. How many people were there?
I think they only had seating for like 75, and then there was some press in addition to that in the back. But the whole thing was, it actually was a good energy in the sense that you could tell that a lot of people that were there were from Gainesville or affected by the taxes and the gouging of Gainesville and the commission and Harvey Ward. And so whenever the governor would talk about, you know, specifics of, you know, wanting to clean things up, take a look at the books. And, of course, a friend of the Bob Rose Show, Blazing Golia, who is the new CFO of the state, was there as well. So a great crowd response, a lot of applause, because it's like, you know, can they come in and immediately change things? Well, no, not necessarily, but they've got the rights now at the statewide level to come and take a look, see what they're doing. And, when you're talking about the percentages that they have raised taxes, and talking about doing it again. I mean, I didn't see the mayor anywhere of Gainesville. No,
you'd think that the mayor would come and give the governor, like, the key to the city. Because what?
No.
The governor's got a key to the city. Yeah, this was passed by the legislature.
Yeah.
They have to give him a look. See, this isn't a, hey, let's get together and work on this. Oh, no.
No.
Did you see Jennifer Cabrera there from Alachua Chronicle? Do you remember seeing her?
I did not see her, but there were a lot of folks there that I didn't get a chance to say hello to everybody, but a lot of folks that we know obviously were there, so yeah.
Well, the reason I asked, she wrote another great article.
Well, I can imagine.
And here's something that she pointed out, and this, you take this in for just a minute. The city of Gainesville, has increased property tax revenue, from the year 2020.
It's 5 years. Okay.
And it's going to be estimated to be $74 million for fiscal year 2026. That's double. So in 6 years, they doubled the revenue coming into the city via property taxes, doubled it in 6 years.
Wow.
What the blankety blank, Hunter, are they doing with that money? And that's one of the reasons why I think they chose Gainesville to come in. And I think it's also, like the Gators or many college football teams, the first game in the season is a patty cake game.
Right.
They came to Gainesville because they said, these lefty weirdos, it's going to be so easy to fiscally pick them apart.
Oh, my goodness.
It's going to be it's going to be like... like in the stadium, it'd be like a 52-7 drubbing of some Southern Mississippi, state college.
Right.
Yeah. Can you believe that, though? Doubled.
And then they're always crying about not having enough money, and they need the money from GRU. I'm like, no, you're screwing everybody over that you have anything to do with. And grabbing everybody's wallet. So stop it. Quit spending money on stupid things we don't want.
Well, that's what the governor wanted to know. His question was, what has the city done with the money?
Uh-huh.
He says they have DEI. They have the Green New Deal. Uh-huh. They have things that, quite frankly, a lot of taxpayers don't want to pay for. it, you know, in property taxes.
Right.
They don't want to have to fund it. And so the goal of the review is to identify these practices, seek justification for why you've seen the growth in taxes. Yeah. And they want to increase it, like you say, they're talking about, what, 15%?
Yeah.
That's crazy. This go around?
And, of course, one of the biggest topics that's always in everybody's mind, too, and that's the whole property tax thing. And while it's easy to talk about that from Tallahassee, you got to remember that is not a state tax. That is more at the local level. So you're going to have to address – I don't know how they address that specifically since it is going to be a local thing, but, you know, at least they're looking at it.
Well, that's what they got to – that's what they sort of have to figure out.
Exactly.
When the governor went on, he said, we all agree on education, first responders, and all of that, and still be able to provide meaningful property tax relief.
Right.
But not if the spending's not kept in check.
Oh,
so,
yeah, absolutely.
And that's what they're going to try to do. And if you want property taxes to be minimal or possibly to go away, then, yeah, they have to identify the priorities of expenditures. But they also are going to have to figure out a revenue stream to cover it. But this is a great time to kind of pare back.
Mm-hmm.
And what's interesting, you know, it's the city of Gainesville, but then in South Florida, they're going to look at the whole Broward County.
Right.
And that's where I think in counties, although Broward County, here's the problem with counties quickly. When you move to a city, you expect city services, and you should get those.
Right.
And you are going to have to pay for those things as well. But because of density of population, you divide it up. Cost for those services is minimal per capita. When you want to live in a county, it used to be that you have the realization that, hey, I'm not going to have all the things that a city has. I'm not going to have all those services and conveniences necessarily. But it's reflected in lower taxes. So there's a trade-off. But now, well, through the years, it began to slowly increase where people in the county started to demand more services. And they're like, well, you want more services, you're going to pay more in taxes. And it started to move in that direction. And, well, taxes rarely go down.
Funny how that works, huh?
Yeah, not ha-ha funny.
No, not ha-ha funny. Or this will be a temporary thing. You know, kind of like tolls. But it'll go away eventually, right?
Wow.
It never does.
Another great example.
Yeah.
Yep, indeed. We're going to have Congresswoman Kat Kamick. We're going to talk to her at approximately 8:05. And you don't want to miss it. But if you do, don't forget, you have the Bob Rose Show podcast available to you. Download it wherever you normally get your podcasts, including iHeartRadio. So you'll never miss a minute of the show. You just click on subscribe. It's easy peasy. Huge deal with Japan. We'll talk about that and a whole lot more coming up on a happy hump day, Trump Day. You're listening to 97.3 The Sky. Did the president use the T word on a former president? Ooh. Good morning and welcome. It is a happy hump day, Trump Day. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. It is 6:22. Time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. President Donald Trump believes the DOJ should go directly after former President Barack Obama, following the recent revelations from the Director of National Intelligence, Tulsi Gabbard. She showcased the true origins of the Tampa-Russia collusion hoax. Now, for a lot of us, we pretty much knew the deal, but it's nice to have it documented, and you say, I told you so. So there's that. But the mainstream media, when Tulsi Gabbard released these things on Friday, not much of a word from many of the outlets, and then maybe a quick go-over on some of the Sunday shows. You put a Democrat out there, You ask him about this stuff. Oh, yeah, well, that's Tulsi trying to get back in the good graces of the president, etc. Well, apparently, Tulsi's got more paperwork that she is going to release today.
But wait, there's more.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and the Obama people, of course, had to answer back when Donald Trump used the T word, treason. But if these things are, you know, as they appear to be laid out,
yeah,
I mean, what? How do you treat somebody who was in the highest position of authority, knew that the whole Russia thing really truly was a hoax? They know because it was the Clinton machine that began the invention, and this Christopher Steele. They knew that it was all made up. They all knew. And you go to a FISA court, you go to a top secret court to have the ability to spy on a candidate for president, an American citizen? I mean, what do you do if this doesn't reach the level of treason impacting an election? And then after he already won, they didn't let up. No. So they were undermining the authority of an incoming president. I mean, that if I don't know. I know the definitions of treason, you know, were somewhat narrowly defined, shall we say, early on, the founding fathers. But I don't know what else you would do legally. Now, here's part of the problem. Barack Obama, doesn't he enjoy amnesty, basically? Isn't he beyond reproach as a former president? Actions taken while president? You have a certain protection.
But the protection, from what I thought, was things that happened while in office.
Yes.
While effectively doing the duties of the office.
Right.
Going off and trying to hurt somebody else is probably not under that heading.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
I mean, basically telling the intelligence community of the outcome that you desire.
Yeah, that's really not. Yeah. And then to add a little insult to injury, mock Donald Trump when he says they're bugging me, basically.
Oh, yeah.
And then just like try to make him look like the fool. Excuse me.
Well, that's what they're attempting to do now. Yeah. They'll try to make Tulsi Gabbard look silly, petty, and that she's just trying to get in President Trump's good graces again, things like that. But, you know, I mean, you've got to get the media to at least take a serious look at this stuff. And, you know, other than Fox News and all the, you know, the conservative outlets, and whether they're truly conservative or not, I know they all get branded that way, because if you're just on center now, that's radical conservatism to the lefties now. You follow me?
Yeah.
In other words, they changed where center was. You know, center when Bill Clinton was in office is now radical right wing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So they've changed the whole parameters of it.
I mean, they didn't just move the goalposts. They took the whole field and...
And it was the Democrats in collusion basically with the mainstream media. That's what they've done. Closer to town, actually in town, the town of Gainesville, there was a lot of puckering up. But it wasn't a kiss hello to the governor. It wasn't a kiss hello to Blaise Ingolia, who's the chief financial officer now. This guy is definitely conservative.
Oh, he's good.
He's definitely a sharp guy. We're happy to have him as a guest many times. We look forward to having him again many times. But... yeah, they came to Gainesville, and they are going to be sniffing around, and they have every right to.
I think it's next weekend. I think he's going to come going, hey, Harvey, you home? Let's look at the books. Let's look at the books.
Well, look, exposing the buffoonery of the city commission over years is not going to be a difficult task. Getting the attention of Gainesville voters and getting them to listen and react appropriately, that could be meaningful. Could be meaningful. Could be. Keyword there. 6:28 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. We have got so much to talk about on a happy hump day, Trump day. You're listening to 97.3 The Sky. Yeah. Crank it up, man. I think he wrote this song about politicians.
Could be.
Yeah, gone off the rails on the crazy train. That is, of course, the legendary Ozzy Osbourne, founder of Black Sabbath, impressive career on his own, of course. Even a family TV show. And he's passed away.
I think probably brought him to a whole generation that really didn't know that much about him.
Absolutely, yeah. So. 76 years old. It also, you know, he did have very much a charm and a wit
about him.
Although, from time to time, he looked, semi-catatonic.
A little rough around the edges, yeah.
Quick story here. Backstage, Ozzy concert. I started in rock and roll radio a long time ago, and... I didn't actually get to personally meet him on that day, but I watched him. Mm-hmm. I came out of the dressing room, whatever, and took his leg and put it up against the wall and stretched like he was in ballet.
Really?
He had a paunch on him, a gut.
Yeah.
Nothing huge, but yeah, he definitely. Yeah. Boy, was he limber.
Huh.
He was getting ready to put on a show. Now, this goes back a number of years, of course, but I thought that was pretty impressive.
Yeah.
And I've enjoyed his music as well, as a lot of other people have, but he's passed away at the age of 76. And he just, a couple of weeks ago, apparently, he was performing, at least to some extent.
Yeah.
He had an audience of over 40,000 cheering fans. They did a tribute show.
It was going to be kind of his big finale, final show, and talk about timing.
Well, he said it would be his last live performance.
Yep.
There's a whole other topic, and maybe it's too soon to get into it, but I think wealthy people in many cases sort of plan their exit depending on their conditions or whatever. But that may or may not be true in this case. I'm just putting it out there, okay? Whenever they say, loved ones surrounded by family and friends, it's like, well, if family and friends are around them 24/7, then yeah, the odds are that could happen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying. But anyway, the king of hard rock and roll took the stage at the Villa Park Soccer Stadium in Black Sabbath's home city of Birmingham.
Birmingham, that's right.
That way you know it's not Alabama.
Exactly.
And performed alongside original members of the band that he helped form in 1967.
That's crazy. Well, and crazy enough to get kicked out of your own band. I mean, he was too wild for them back then, but he did just fine afterwards.
Just so people know, he did not die from the bird flu.
No, but birds and bats were not much safer.
Not the bat flu, yeah, right. Not the dove flu.
He did not go to any kind of a wet market or anything looking for critters.
I saw, and you could find this, WJXT, Channel 4 out of Jacksonville, they ran some old footage, which it's very interesting, from 1984 when Ozzy was in town. Mm-hmm. Guess who the opening band was?
Who?
Motley Crue.
Wow.
So they're interviewing them. They're doing a, legit news story.
Sure.
And they're talking about, are they devil worshipers or whatever?
Yeah, right.
It was interesting because I thought, okay, Jacksonville was still, a good-sized town even in 84, but very very different, because I lived in Tampa Bay at that time, very different than South Florida,
right.
Very much different than Tampa Bay. They were still a little bit, how do I say this graciously?
Backwards?
Living
sheltered
a little bit and kind of behind the times a little bit.
Yeah.
And not that, and I'm not saying that as a bad thing.
Sometimes
it's just interesting
it's good,
looking back. It's
right.
Asking if they're devil worshippers and stuff like that. I mean, they didn't understand the concept of you know, marketing.
Theatrics of rock.
Theatrics and marketing and who are you selling your records to. It was
and
pretty,
your soul.
Yeah, and it was pretty fun. And they said, there were about 26 arrests, mostly due to, you know, alcohol and drugs. And they said, and that's about average for a concert.
Yeah.
And
that wouldn't be shocking.
But the way in which it was presented, you're like, the freak show has come to town. And Ozzy, at that point, was dressed like in drag. He was like in drag. So you could just imagine.
Yeah.
You know?
Had to be wild time.
Yeah. Yeah. So rest in peace. Ozzy Osbourne passed away at the age of 76. Him and Sharon, they had their ups and downs for sure.
Big time.
But it seems like, you know, in the end, they were back together and tight.
And she's a character in her own right. I mean,
really?
She's something else.
Sharp, witty, entertaining. Oh, yeah. I'm sure that was quite a chemistry that they had.
Yeah.
Well, we know it was because
we saw it. Yes.
And unlike so many other reality shows, I don't think that this was quite as heavily scripted as a lot of them are. Because they were all characters.
Oh, yeah.
The kid, Jack. What's the daughter's name? She was a character, too.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Very colorful, she was. And so was her hair.
Yes. What else do we have going on? Back to the T word that the president has used, referring to a former president, treason.
Well, someone else who eats animals. Yes.
Yeah. MSNBC on Deadline there, they had, of course, they always have to they bring Democrats on.
Uh-huh.
They're afraid to have too many Republican guests, I guess, because then they get all confused about, no, you're not here to give us the truth. We're here to push an agenda, and those silly Republicans keep getting in the way. So they had Jim Himes on, a Democrat out of Connecticut, basically saying someone's going to die because President Donald Trump accused former President Barack Obama of treason. Now, isn't that ironic? Somebody's going to die because you tossed out the T word.
Mm-hmm.
The person who tossed out the T word was the one who came the closest to dying of any president since Ronald Reagan.
And no doubt, possibly, because they had been convinced, and a lot of folks have, that he's a Nazi and a racist and he's Hitler. And if you think there's another Hitler, aren't you going to try to, like, stop that person?
Yeah. So that's you're sending those messages to the people that aren't completely mentally balanced.
So this is a little more than ironic that they would go down that road.
Yeah. Yeah, it's ironic /
or
moronic.
Moronic, yeah.
And you were on the same page there.
Well, because we can see it.
No, because great minds think alike.
Well, there's that, too.
6:45, Bob Rose Show. Rolling. Greg Cassidy is here. Plenty more to talk about. Local stuff. The governor coming to Gainesville yesterday. Interesting stuff there. And a poll out of New York City. Might not be a surprise. Details on the way. News Talk 97.3 The Sky. Happy Hump Day, Trump Day. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. And President Trump, one of the things that, well, his administration has done recently, get rid of signs that are disparaging of America.
Okay.
And we're not talking about, you know, protesters and their silly little signs. He has directed the National Park Service to remove signs that were critical of American history and to promote the progress of the American people.
Okay.
And apparently there's as many as 933 National Park Service sites, and they want to remove critical signs meant to inappropriately disparage Americans.
Wonder why they're there in the first place.
Well,
just people randomly putting things up, I wonder, or
no,
what?
No, I'll explain momentarily through my own personal experience. You know, want to talk about the progress of the American people, the grandeur of the American landscape. And I set a deadline for September 17th. So that's, you know, going to be here before you know it. Certain messages that were erased pertain to climate change and past racial divisions.
Hmm.
Also Native American history and slavery. And from the New York Times, they talk about it. It says at the Liberty Bell in Philadelphia, park employees flagged an exhibit panel that discussed the Bell's travels across the country during the post-Reconstruction period. The panel calls out the systemic and violent racism and sexism that existed at the time. In other words, talking about the storied history of the Liberty Bell, how it got cracked,
right,
all of those things that one would learn about. Instead, they took an opportunity to be disparaging toward Americans at that time. And that was my example, in a way. It was Philadelphia. And I had visited, you know, my mother was from there, and she was one of 12 Irish Catholic families. So imagine, I got a bazillion cousins. And so we would go back home from Detroit or Florida, depending on where we lived at the time, and visit on a regular basis, obviously. Mom close to her family. So I would interact, and I had seen all the sites in Philadelphia many, many times, been to, downtown, and been to where the Liberty Bell is, and Ben Franklin and Betsy Ross and all the cool stuff. And then it wasn't the last time I went, but it was a family reunion. I guess that would be 3 or 4 years ago. Yeah, just about 4 years ago. And all the things and places that I've been and seen and visited, most of them were there, but the signage had definitely changed. And it was all very, very woke.
Okay.
And I turned to, Betsy, and I said, hey.
Betsy Ross was there?
No, but I took my Betsy to see the Betsy Ross house, I bought her a shirt.
It
said,
really?
Betsy Boss. How appropriate.
What was it to say? Wow.
Huh. And I told her, I said, that it never used to be this way. And yeah, she could clearly, it was really an agenda. It was very, very woke. It was sad.
Yeah, it would be.
It was sad. And so I am happy to know that Trump is addressing this. Apparently not just Philadelphia, of course. That was just one example. At Cape Hatteras National Seashore, for instance, the internal documents show that a Park Service employee asked the Trump administration to review a sign that explains how rising seas are threatening the habitat of wild horses.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. At nearby Independence National Historical Park, where the Declaration of Independence and the U.S. Constitution were debated and signed, park staff raised concerns about an exhibit that memorializes 9 slaves whom George Washington had brought from Mount Vernon. One panel emphasizes the intentional brutality of slaveholders, which included whippings, beatings, tortures, and rape. It was in George Washington's will that freed all of his existing slaves, and you have to remember, at the time, it was a perfectly acceptable and legal thing. People just didn't see things or look at things the same way we do now. That's right. Why it's so dangerous to judge everything of the past by what we know now. It's silly. Do you want to go back and talk about how stupid all the scientists were?
Oh my goodness.
Right?
They got it all wrong.
How come they couldn't figure this out? And how come they couldn't figure that out?
They actually believed that was right?
Exactly.
All those things, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you're right.
So, again, but that's, people have an agenda they want to push.
Yeah.
Dan Wenk, former superintendent, Yellowstone National Park, accused the administration of covering up things in our history that we are not proud of anymore. The national parks were established to tell the American story. And shouldn't we just tell all the things that make us look wonderful? We have things in our history we're not proud of anymore. Yeah. And look, the staff, the Park Service staff or whatever, they could be in somewhat of a tough spot. But when people go around and they want to visit these historical landmarks and stuff and visit around the country, yes, you don't have to hide certain truths, but you also don't have to accentuate them or override the bigger story.
Well, they ignore the good so that they can make their negative points too many times.
That's part of the problem. Look, what about a philosophy of America is awesome, America was a brand new land, a brand new country, and went through many growing pains.
An experiment.
But established itself as truly, you know, for the people, and individual rights were held above all else, eventually. And that's the thing. It's, let's show where we are, how much better we are than what we may have been. So I always look at it like this. America, perfect? Nope. But great? Great now? Absolutely. More to come on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. It's a happy hump day, Trump day. Congresswoman Kat Kamick will be along in about an hour. Hang on.